da di da di da 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 di da. What do you hear over the air? CQ serenade. So you don't know just what it means. Dust your shoes off, shake out your jeans. Get on your feet, jump to the beat of CQ serenade.
Well, good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I want to welcome you to South Cars. This is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This South Cars server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Kilo Bravo 8 Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for this digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control actually for this session is Mr. Gary, KC2RMO. His backups, I think, are several. I believe it's Roger, W4RFJ, Gordon, KY6B, and George, NO70. My name is Kathy. My call sign is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I'm merely opening it up for the session. My location is Port St. Lucie, Florida. I'm not sure of the temperature. It's probably in the 70s or maybe the 80s, but it's been a beautiful day. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, please come aboard. Hearing no emergency traffic, that's always a great thing. So let me ask, are there any birthday stations out there? Birthdays last week, maybe today, or maybe this upcoming week that would like to come aboard so we can say happy, happy birthday. All right, hearing no birthday stations. And I will say it once again, that means we're just staying nice, nice young. We're not getting any older. This is the monthly Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. I do want to advise you that this net is recorded for future presentation on our website as a podcast. So if you've been part of this session tonight, you'll definitely be part of that recording. Our program tonight is a very favorite one. It's Ask an Elmer. So at this point, Gary, I'm going to throw it over to you. I know your audio was low, so let's get that nice, fantastic voice to come aboard. KC2RMO from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Hey, thank you, Kathy, and hello, everybody. Yeah, I think we got it fixed. I'm using the headset tonight. We have the shack actually completely torn apart. I'm moving everything over. The entire shack is going to be put into two audio racks, so should be pretty nice. But I got everything taken apart right now, so we're over on the other side of the room here, plugged into the computer, and a little bit different setup. So I forgot to plug something in. That's why. So hello and welcome to tonight's TIN. Tonight it's a doubleheader. Now in a couple minutes, we'll be bringing on NO70, and George is going to tell us the ins and outs of setting up a media server. Now, that's a great topic and one that I personally have been thinking about doing, so I'm definitely going to be paying attention. Now, after George, I'll be talking about how to make your station sound better. And if you want to really know, you can work with it a little bit and make it sound downright awesome. Of course, you know, it would only make sense that I'd be using a tinny-sounding headset to talk about good audio. Let me just buy a nickel here for a moment. But I guess that's the way things go. Hey, before we get going, Does anybody want to jump in with a hello or any comments? Okay, nothing heard right now. So let's move on. It's time to go to the media capital of the world and check in with NO70 George. Now, George, I hear you can save a few bucks with your own media server. So what's the deal with that?
KC2RMO and the South Carolina CIN, NO70. Well, thank you for asking, Gary. That's a very good question. So, yes, we were going to talk about cost cutting, and that's part one. And then part two is the actual setup for itself. So I'm going to, Gary, since you've been thinking about it, I'm going to walk all the way from the beginning about how I got interested in the idea of cost cutting. And then after that, I look forward to letting you know how I managed to make it happen, much to my surprise and how easy it was. Then we have more information from Chief W4RFJ about something I have not prototyped, but that could well possibly be applied to the use of a media server. So that's the goal and objective, first cost cutting. I'll spend about probably a good 10 minutes on the reason for that, and then another 10 minutes or longer on the setup itself. Let me reset. So this is NO70 with the South Carolina CIN. All right, regarding cost-cutting your entertainment media subscriptions and TV packages, you know, Gary, in the net, news reports in print and television news have covered the news more and more recently that people are cutting the cable cord or other cord to save money and using streaming devices with more economical or free streaming device channels from their own channel store for each one of those devices. Now, I'm wondering, did anyone receive a streaming device as a recent gift, you know, over the holidays or a birthday anniversary or whatever? I'm wondering if anyone has received one as a gift or has purchased one within the last 3 to 6 months. Maybe, Gary, you could do a poll and see if we have anyone who's willing to fess up. KC2RMO, NO70.
This is KC2RMO, and boy, I gotta tell ya, you are you're preaching to the choir, sir. I got a Roku device not too long ago, and I fooled around with it, and it was okay. You know, I don't think I really was able to get most of the potential out of it. So I'm one of those folks that you were talking to. This is a great net for me. If only for me, this is great. But so yeah, I'm one of the people that have dipped their toes into the water. Let's see if anybody else out there is in the same boat. The question here is, Did you get any of these streaming devices that are out there now? There's Roku, and there's I think there's a Hulu type of device, but they are streaming devices in which you can get television on and play it through your big screen TV or a monitor or whatever you have. So the question is, did you just get one of these? And have you used it yet? We're going to take check-ins right now.
Six Victor, does an Alexa help?
I think in a way, but I don't think an Alexa is not going to get you TV, but you can get streaming audio on that. So maybe that does count. We'll have George comment on that. Anybody else? No, it's a little quiet out there. Okay, well, George. I know I have my questions about what you can really do with one of these streaming devices. And Gordon just had a great question about an Amazon Echo that, you know, we all know that it can do various sorts of audio streaming. So maybe you can comment and tell us what the potential is for integrating an Echo with a media server, and maybe you could tell me a little bit more about the capabilities of my Roku device. George, come on board.
KC2RMO, KY6V, and the remainder of the net. KTRMO, KY6Z, and the remainder of the net, NO70. Well, I would say that Alexa definitely qualifies as a streaming device. As you mentioned, it's more audio-based, and it will also, from what I understand from an earlier conversation recording, there are two levels, a free level and a paid level, and there are some thoughts about that. If there's some way that I don't know part of the answer, I would say there's some way to store the Alexa audio into an audio file, then it would be very easy to get it into the streaming device. Let me reset. So that was a very good question, and one I don't know the entire answer to. So maybe we can come back to that later, or I can get back with more information to you later. All right, so let me first note that, Gary, I'm glad you mentioned some of the devices that are available. I did have written down in the script here to say, please note that no endorsement of any brand or of streaming device or other device is intended or implied, and also that all copyrights must be observed by the home media server user. Means that you can use media for your own pleasure, including delayed playback, but making copies, bootleg copies, is definitely a violation of copyright. What I will be covering in this TIN is how to stream content that I do not own through the streaming device, but that is available for streaming and made available by the artists and copyrights involved. Also, what I will be covering tonight, Gary and Annette, is how to reduce your household costs by using your own entertainment media like CDs, DVDs, that you have purchased but not enjoyed for some time. And I will mention how to stream content available on your streaming device by selecting from the channel store a channel streaming content or other source made available through the device manufacturer's configuration. Let me reset. All right, so, you know, Gary and Annette, who knows, you may find that you already do own music or videos that are gathering dust in that old physical media, whether it be cassette tape, goodness gracious, do we even know what that is anymore, or CDs or DVDs. And maybe they've been gathering dust in the back, and you are saying, it's too much trouble to go listen to that, but I would love to go back and listen to that CD I loved so well 12 years ago. Well, then we're talking to you tonight. This same media may be as entertaining and informative to you as any of the TV content. So as Gordon mentioned, you may and ask Alexa for it. If Alexa can't find it and you have it in your storage, then we're talking to you about this media tonight as well. Also, Gary and Annette, you may find that the free channels that are available, just as Gordon said, will provide you with a wealth of content. The only downside is that the embedded commercials can be too frequent and intrusive. This is NO70 with the South Cars Thursday TIN. You know, the reason why this came up for me is that recently I had a prolonged flu episode that placed me in my sick bed for a much longer period of time than I had wanted or expected. And that came about even given how careful I am about hand washing, sanitizers, and infection control. But that flu bug that hit so many people apparently throughout the country had decided to spread rapidly and with a vengeance throughout this apartment building. Therefore, being laid up in bed, some type of diversion while confined to that bed became increasingly important to me. But I was not about to go sign up for expensive packages. I wanted to save money, okay? Therefore, my objective became to set up a way to listen or watch movies and music that I own and have the backup copies for, and also to, at the same time, consider storing those movies and music that were still only in physical media onto some type of media server device so that I could listen or watch these on my TV in another room separate from my production server studio. So this subjective specifications were simple to define but hard to meet in the space of a couple of hours because, being sick, I didn't want to spend a lot of time and definitely spend any money on trying to just set up some entertainment media. So, Gary, you mentioned that you were interested in the topic of saving money, and I think others were as well. If I was successful with this effort while I was sick and not feeling like working very hard at this, then at the completion of my project, within a couple of hours, the content would be available on my TV in that other room without a TV or cable subscription. I would not have to invest in any additional equipment, software downloads, time-consuming configurations that same day or in the future, or having to purchase any media server hardware other than the one streaming stick that I had already received as a present in December. In summary, this project's specification to cut the cost and cut the cord are itemized in the following requirements. Requirement one, I would only use an existing desktop computer running Windows 10 and have that one streaming device. While there are definitely other media server software downloads like Plex and PS3 media server available that also expand the functionality to other non-Windows devices, the use of additional downloads and configurations would add additional time, download, and headaches in addition to the headache from the flu and would be in conflict with the project specifications. For my purposes tonight, what I'm trying to say, for my objective of making this happen, the only devices and software that were going to be used would be the previously purchased streaming device, the existing Wi-Fi already paid for and present, and the network router already in place without purchase of or installation of a new or upgraded router. Specification number two, I would install the media device connection that same afternoon within 2 hours without having to refer to or wait for any other networks, videos, or technical information nets or anything like that, all with the objective of just making it happen within this 2-hour implementation window before I went back to try to get the flu bug rested out. And specification number three, as mentioned, there would be no external downloads or purchase of additional software operating systems other than Windows 10. There would be no purchase of utilities, hardware, memory cards, external or new disk drives of the devices that afternoon. Fourth, there would be no monthly fees for any channel store that I selected to be used on the streaming device. More about channel stores in part two tonight. And there will be no monthly fees not already in place on the desktop except for the firewall virus protection and Windows 10 operating system already purchased and in place. Therefore, I will be using Windows 10, the streaming device, and no additional operating systems, disk partitioning, public downloaded software, or utility software will be included as a part of my 2-hour effort. So, Gary and Annette, upon completion of this 2-hour afternoon project, successful implementation would be defined. You know, we always have to have an objective when we go a measure of the success of our objectives and when we have an implementation. The successful implementation would be defined as having a working DLNA-only media server, more on DLNA in a minute, on my existing computer hardware at no cost or time overhead other than that one device. And there will be no current or future monthly fees to worry about or to try to remember to cancel after an introductory period. No future configuration or maintenance required on the work computer from installing personal software on a work-related production computer and the computer used for emergency communication support. And most of all, because no software would be downloaded or installed, there would be no impact or time consumed with keeping Echolink on my already installed computer. Working Echolink would be protected as well. Let me reset. So, Gary and Annette, those are the objectives, the specifications for each objective, and how the successful implementation was defined. all through the murky thought of a headache from the flu and feeling bad and that. And that's why implementation of this media server became important, because I was going stir crazy and needed some entertainment, but at no cost and no time overhead. So, Gary, would you please see if there are any questions about the project's objectives or setup or any of the specifications here before I begin to talk about what happened when I did the project. Let me turn it back to you to check for any comments or thoughts from any of the people on the net tonight. KC2RMO, NO70, back to you.
This is KC2RMO. I have a question myself. This is great stuff. This really is. And it's amazing what a bout with the creeping crud can do. You know, you'll end up with a lot of inspiration, if anything else. But I have a quick question for you, George. We were talking about routers. We just switched over to Fios, and that is a proprietary router with Verizon. Do you know of any constraints with a Fios router?
KC2RMO and the South Guard TIN, NO70. Actually, Gary, I do not know of any constraints with the Fios router. It actually is a fiber router that I'm using. Happens to be from the same vendor you're talking about. I did not try this on any other router because, again, I was only paying for the one internet provider. And, of course, as far as not spending any money, as I said, included in this project was the understanding that a router would be paid for because it would was needed to make anything work. Now, Gary, I would have one suggestion. Let me reset. A suggestion I have, there are Wi-Fi mapping devices that will tell you the loading on each of the Wi-Fi channels. It will give you a graph of that, and based upon what I see in here, I found that if I assigned channel 3 to the Wi-Fi instead of taking the default channel for Wi-Fi provided by the router, that would improve the throughput and decrease some of the lag. Now, I see some comments in the text box, especially about the hard drives and external storage, and Chief is going to be talking more about that, so I hope that John and also I see Fred talks about his streaming stick as well. I hope that y'all will consider providing some comments back too when Chief talks about the external storage. KC2RMO, did I answer your question, NO70?
This is KC2RMO. Yes, you certainly did. That was the first thing I think that popped into my mind when you started talking about things. I haven't really played with this router too much. It's worked well right from the get-go, so I did a little port forwarding on it, but I never really got into the nuts and bolts of it, so this seems like a good thing. So right now let's take a few questions from the folks out there that are listening. What George was saying was, if as far as we've gone so far, do you have any questions? Do you need any extra input as far as this goes? We'll take some check-ins right now as we continue on the TIN. This is South Cars. I'm KC2RMO looking for check-ins right now.
K2HA.
We have K2HA. Anybody else want to come aboard with a question?
6, Victor.
All right, there's a couple. K2HA, come on aboard with your question.
Well, my question at this moment is about the only device, streaming device, that I've been able to purchase so far is the Amazon Fire Stick that you plug into the back of your TV and it connects wirelessly to your computer. I don't know what the capability of it is, though. Okay, this is Fred, K2HA.
Okay, Fred, let's forward that question to N070. George, what about the capability of that Fire Stick?
Gary, that's a very good question. Thank you, Fred. And actually, that's the next paragraph I have in the script here. So, Fred, if you don't mind, let me ask, let me get what Gordon's question was as well. And then maybe it might save time for me to, let's see what his question is, and then I will know best how to proceed and to respect everyone's time. Is that okay? KC2RMO, N070, over.
Actually, it's all rigged. We just plant people in the audience to set things up. No, that's just fine. That's super. So let's move along to KY6V and Gordon. You had a question. What have you, sir?
Well, thank you, Gary. And, of course, the question is to George, KY6V here. I assume that you're using the Roku, and I think that's the same piece of equipment that you've got, Gary. I got interested in the other names like Hoo-Hoo. My goodness gracious, that's really getting out of sight. George, this is a standard hi-fi connection from the Roku to the Wi-Fi router. Question number one. Question number two. Can you pair that or some way distribute that to multiple devices? In other words, you're talking to the router is picking up your streaming feed. Can you tie a computer into that connection at the same time so you could record, let's say, on your computer drive? Or could you simultaneously pair that with a Wi-Fi receiver in another room, that kind of thing? George, I'll go directly to you, over.
KY6V, N070 in the group. Okay, so Gordon and Fred, I can combine these two answers into one. Thank you for allowing me to do that. First, you do have to have a separate, looking at the Roku, which is the one that I'm really the most familiar with, but this is probably common to all of them. You would have to have one of the streaming devices or streaming sticks for each television. The Wi-Fi comes into place through the media server available in the channel store. That's to answer your question, Fred, where that media server channel is what actually pulls the media content from the router to the TV. And it's pretty much a one-way affair, and you would have to have a streaming stick for each TV that you're working with. Let me reset the link. So, Fred, let me come back to answer, put a little more detail to answer your question. What I was interested in when I was trying to figure out how to do this and in the bed trying to figure out how to make it happen was that I was surprised to see there was a channel in the channel store named Media Server. Now, each one of these devices will have something like a channel store, like on your phone you have a different app, you know, in the Play Store, in the iPhone store, whatever. You'll have the different channels that you can, or apps you can download. The same applies to these streaming devices. So, Fred, to answer your question, you would have to then use the channel that's named Media Server, and I was very surprised to see that there was a channel available named just that. I said, aha! And that is what started this whole two-hour effort to make it happen, because I was too tired and wanted just to have something done very quickly. So seeing a channel named Media Server was what was interesting. Let me reset the link. Now, Gordon, to answer the second part of your question, depending upon for the Roku, and my understanding is this may be very common to all of the streaming sticks, Depending upon the model, you may have an Ethernet port available and or a Wi-Fi port available. The Wi-Fi I found to be very functional as long as I choose one of the less populated Wi-Fi channels, like where I parked it on channel 3 instead of the more populated channels 1, 6, or 11. And by that Wi-Fi connection, it worked very well. All right, I'll talk a little bit more about that as we go into the media server setup, but let me make sure that I answered the questions. So KY6V, you turned it to me first. Let me turn it back to you, and then Gary, I also want to make sure I answer Fred's question as well, but you're net control. So KY6V, let me turn it to you. You can turn it to Gary, and we can Gary can check with Fred, and we can go from there. May I recommend that? KY6V, did I answer the questions that you had in 070? Over.
Yes, I think so, George, and I thank you for that. Let me make sure my thinking is correct. The host that you've picked, whatever streaming outfit it may be, is connected to your computer. In other words, your computer has requested this streaming video and then, or audio and video, and then your computer is talking to your Roku device. Now, the Roku is working Wi-Fi also, if I'm reading this correctly. How is the computer simultaneously inputting the stream that it selected and then spitting it out to your interface device? I'm a little lost on that. Over.
KY6V and the Southcross TIN NO70. Well, that's a good question, Gordon. Thank you. Actually, the streaming device is connected to the television through an HDMI cable. That is, to my thinking, the primary connection. Now, whatever the Roku picks up is what's going through the selected channel that's been installed on the device out of the channel store. Then that channel is what the Roku sends out through Wi-Fi or an Ethernet connection to your router. And then the media server channel will go through the Wi-Fi or Ethernet connection to the storage location on your computer or your Raspberry Pi that Chief will talk more about this. So maybe to make it a little bit easier, let's assume a Wi-Fi connection and no Ethernet connection from the streaming device. The streaming device is connected via an HDMI cable to your TV. You use a remote control, and on the TV, you select the channel you want to watch. It then sends a request for that content to the router through and to the channel store. Now, if you make the channel your home media server instead of one of their own channels, then that's how you get your local content playing via the Wi-Fi or via your router back to your TV. Did that help? Maybe during the setup description, it might put a little more in there, but that did that help, Gordon? KY6V, NO70, over.
Yeah, well, I'll listen further. Just let me ask you this question. Can you record at the same time that you are listening to it on the TV in this setup? Over.
Good question, Gordon. Negative. This is read-only from the channel that you have downloaded and opened up for your entertainment pleasure. And that is then fed to the TV. Now, maybe if you have set up a recording setup to your TV, you know, like a home theater setup, that would be beyond the scope of what I'm speaking of today, and that would be the only way I think you could do that, but that is was not a part of what I try to set up here. So the answer shortly is using the streaming device, the router, and the channels. No, it is read-only through the streaming device for it. KY6B, NO7, over.
Okay. I'll bet you there's a way around that. Thank you. Gary, go ahead and pick up and make sure that Fred is taken care of. KY6V to KC2RMO.
You know, those calls are going to change in a week or two anyway. I will send out a mass mailing on that. Thank you, Gordon. One thing that I found very interesting, George, was the fact that you can see the media server on the Roku device. I actually do have my setup set up as a media server for the music. I never really played around with it too much. I just one day, you know, was fooling around, and I said, "Oh, okay, yeah, I have this option." So I designated it as that, and I'm really interested to hear a little bit more when we get into the setup about really how to do that. I kind of have it half set up, I think, but I'm going to be plugging in that Roku and seeing what we shall see. So this is pretty cool. If I could figure out a way to stream my reel-to-reel on this would be awesome. But Fred, we wanted to get back to you and make sure that your question was answered satisfactorily. How say you, sir?
Well, thank you. Appreciate that, Gary. This is K2HA, and I found a tutorial on how to turn your reasonably priced Fire Stick into an Ultimate Media Server on the web, and so I'll have to look at that and learn more about it. So please continue on. This is Fred, K2HA.
You don't have to say reasonably priced. Cheap is cheap. yeah, it's in the box, friends and neighbors. That URL that Fred was talking about is in the text box, and looks like it's an interesting visit, so we'll find out a little bit more about that, too. But with that in mind, let's go to the implementation phase of this project, and we'll go back to NO70. George, take it away.
Thank you, Gary. KC2RMO, K2HA, KY6V, and all of those present and also contributing well in the text box tonight. Thank each and every one of you for your feedback through the text box, too. This is NO70 with the South Cars TIN. So implementation, well, as Fred was asking, and Gordon, how do you get this set up? Well, and Gary, you gave the perfect clue when you said that you could see the files that you were interested in listening to as you looked into using your device. So let's break it down this way. Let's say that you wanted to watch reruns from last week's major network, one particular show that you might be interested in watching. So let's say that your favorite show was on network XYZ on the television. Well, there's going to be for network XYZ a channel available in the channel store or whatever it may be called for your particular device, and then you would go and select that channel, and then from that menu select the show you were interested in, and from the show menu select the date of airing of the episode that you are interested in. And that's what a channel does on these streaming devices. Let me reset. So now let's substitute for that channel for XYZ network your own media server. And since Gary's call is KC2RMO, I'm going to call his network the RMO network. Is that okay, Gary? I hope, KC2RMO, okay to do that? And turn it right back to me. Back over to you.
I always wanted to have my own network, of course. Back to you.
Thank you, Gary. So now we have a channel named RMO Network, and as Gary mentioned, he could see all of the one part video files and another part audio files and another part pictures, still pictures, photographs that he took, and these are in different parts of his media server. So that would be like the different show names from XYZ Network. So Gary's RMO Network has available these three episodes, the video episode, the audio episode, and the photograph episode. So he can select any one of those that he would like to have. And when opening that, then any one of those, he can then select the video he wants to watch under the video show, or on the audio show, he can select the CD or music he wants to listen to. Or on the photo show, he can go through and look at the different photos that he has stored in his media server. And how this is done is that in the channel server, there is a channel named Media Server. And by opening that media server in the streaming device, you then are able to access your media server content. So let me ask for any comments on that, and then I'm going to go into the technical part of the setup. KC2RMO, NO7, over.
Thank you, George. Any comments out there so far? Okay, nothing heard. So, George, pick it up with phase two.
All right, thank you, Gary. So where we're at now is, hey, there is a media server channel available on the streaming stick. I don't want to do a lot of work with this. I just want to get something to watch instead of going stir crazy while down with this flu and hardly able to talk or say anything, which kind of also ruled out technical support. So, much to my surprise, when I started looking, well, indeed, there was then this media server channel available in the streaming devices channel store. And then I found out that on my computer, using Windows 10, there is a configuration available that would turn the computer into a DLNA server, which stands for Digital Living Network Alliance. Now, while DLNA and also home media server use is declining with increasing cloud storage services available, even for home use, then having a no-cost DLNA home media server that is currently and briefly available in today's release of Windows 10 became very intriguing, even if that DLNA is not popular or prevalent for long. So let me reset. So therefore, I became motivated to install this DLNA feature on my computer in the hope that once installed, it would be grandfathered in during future Windows operating system updates. And all I would be using would be a compatible streaming device, many of them documented online. Now, the thought occurs when Gordon and I were talking earlier that maybe that we could have been talking about two different sides of this. I was taking this question as applying to the media channel on the streaming device, which is in itself a server. And then there's also on the computer a DLNA server available, which in essence just allows the computer to respond to the requests for content to come downstream. Maybe that was how I should have answered Gordon's question as well. Let me reset. I do want to mention that I see some more information that can be posted on the website from VK2DY about some recording software. Again, my scope was to avoid trying to do that. But it would certainly be very helpful in recording your own media. I would have to say just be careful of copyright laws and so forth. Okay, so here are the steps that I use. First, I did check the channel store and confirmed that I could download the media, home media channel owned to my streaming stick. And that was very easy to do. When you open up your streaming stick, you go to the channel store, you can do a search for a media channel, and it will come up with what's available for your particular stick. You then download or install that channel, and then you're ready to go to your computer. It's that simple on the streaming, most of these streaming sticks. Let me reset. So, Gary and Vinette, this is NO70 with the South Guards TIN. My next step then became to set up my Windows computer DLNA media server so that the streaming device could see the files that were present on a storage device attached to the computer. Now, a brief note here. My comments tonight are going to be limited to how to set up the Windows DLNA media server that is already a part of Windows 10 and how to set up streaming of media you already own or may purchase that are stored in your computer hard drives libraries. I am not conversant enough to be able to speak to Linux or other operating systems on this. Let me reset the link. So here are the steps to take, and we will be posting a PDF onto the website that should also illustrate, that will illustrate how to go through these steps. So first you go to Control Panel on your computer, and then when you open up Control Panel, there's a search box in the upper right-hand side. Type in the word media in that search box, and again, this is specific to Windows. When you type in the word media, you will see a section appear in the upper left of the frame below that is labeled Network and Sharing Options. This is very similar to setting up a home group or a shared directory. Let me reset. Now, under Network and Sharing Options, you will see a button that you can click that says Choose Media Streaming Options. On the next screen labeled Media Streaming Options, click on the button labeled Turn On Media Streaming. And then when that refreshes, enter the name you want for your media library in the box labeled Name Your Media Library. That can be your own name, it can be whatever will help you recognize your media library from other settings. Then next, click on the Choose Default Setting, which is a little bitty, very small print hyperlink just below that. Another window will open, and then you can click the two buttons labeled All Ratings so that all of your media will be available and none of the media ignored because it may have a PG or more restrictive rating for age or other factors. Let me reset. So next you would click OK to close that default media streaming settings window, and then there will be a pull down box that says that's labeled Show Devices Own. You would use the pull-down to choose local network instead of all networks, just in case you later want to connect your desktop computer to a public Wi-Fi network, such as one that may be provided by a landlord to all residents in the building. You don't want to be sharing this stuff outside your own local network. Let me reset. This is NO70 with the South Guards TIN. The next step, then, is a window frame should open up containing a row labeled Media Programs on this PC and Remote Connections. If you don't see that, you may need to go back arrow or refresh or close out and re-enter your the control panel. And then you will see a frame that will have the connections listed in it with a little checkbox with the caption that says allowed. Well, you have to check that so a check is present in the checkbox, and that will allow that network to be accessed by your DLNA Windows server. Let me reset. Your next step is, let's make sure that your streaming device is turned on, connected to the Wi-Fi. You want to make sure that's ready and available as the streaming device that your computer is going to be sending the contents to back to the router in response to the streaming device's query. Once your streaming device is attached to your TV, turned on, and connected to your router, you would then see in that frame window another line labeled unknown device, or possibly the name of your streaming device. That will also have a box that needs to be checked to show allowed. If you don't see the unknown device or streaming device name, then you have a problem with your streaming device being connected to the same Wi-Fi network that your own, or properly attached to the TV. You'll need to make sure your streaming device is properly connected to the Wi-Fi router and to the television. So at this point in time, I had then two parts in that window, the DLNA media server on the computer with a checkbox showing allowed, and then I had the next line below with unknown device, which meant the streaming device, and a checkbox with allowed put in that. And for me, that is only the desktop media device, and then the next line is just for the streaming device. I made sure that I had all the allowed boxes checked. I clicked on Save Changes, and then I could go to my TV after about the 30 minutes or 20 minutes or so it took to make these check boxes and go through the control panel. And I'm ready now for testing and the setup. Let me reset. So at this point in time, what we have is we have a streaming device set up. We have a DLNA server set up on the computer, which is pretty much click on a button that says activate a media server. We then clicked allowed and made sure that our server was in the configuration, and we also looked for the streaming device. And this is, you know, realistically speaking, probably a 30 to 40 minute process, especially if you're unfamiliar or you have to go and reboot the streaming device. You're going to save changes and, if you had not already, and now we just need to have some media to play or enjoy on Gary's RMO network or your own media server, your own media computer. Let me talk about that here for a moment. Resetting. Now, Gary, as you mentioned, you were able to see your media directories when you activated your media server channel store on your streaming device. Let me say again that all these steps will be put into in a PDF that will be uploaded to the website. A picture is worth the 10,000 words I just went through. It is a lot easier than it sounds like when trying to talk through it. And I have prepared in that PDF, placed arrows next to each of these boxes or configurations that you have to click, check, or manipulate. And that's all highlighted in that PDF that would be posted to the website. So now we're at the point of wanting to have our own music, our own DVDs or videos that we can enjoy while watching the TV in another room and away from the computer. And this becomes a matter of storing your media in a public directory. Now, I'm going to talk about storing this media as the very last little bit of my presentation. We're pretty much at the end. So, Jerry, let me ask you a question. You can add poll others, and then I have a couple of thoughts about storing the media in your public directory. Gary, what did you have, or what did you decide to put in your personal media library that you could stream to your SIC? Can you give us an idea of some of the things that you enjoyed or that you found when you took a look through the directory that you mentioned, KC2RMO and 070?
It's KC2RMO. I feel like William Paley. I've got my own network. In my streaming setup, I have, give you an idea how bizarre things are around here. I have every Dragnet radio show from 1949 to 1955, because we love Dragnet around here. Dragnet on the radio was awesome, and we own the entire catalog, which is great. And I have my entire Beatles collection. So that's what I stuck in there. And there's a few other interesting ones, like Pico and Sepulveda by Felix Figueroa, and some interesting little tidbits like that. Oh, including the old CBS radio news top of the hour sounder. So that's in there too, which is also my ringtone. No, that was not it. It was a little reminder coming up from my calendar. So that's what I've got in there now. I never really expanded it beyond that. Although, you know, tonight's activities have certainly kind of pointed me in that direction. I've got lots of room, so may as well use it. So that's what's in there. And let's see if anybody else has any ideas what they'd like to store in a media server. What would you use yours for? I'll throw it out right now. We'll take some check-ins. This is KC2RMO on South Cars. Well, I guess not a lot of Felix Figueroa fans out there. Anyway, George, that's what I was going to put on mine, so we'll throw it back to you.
KC2RMO and the South Cars TIN NO70. Well, I'll answer my own question here as well, and I hope somebody will come back and let us know what some of their tastes are. Is it classical music that you have your own copies of? Now, what's in your music and your DVD library? What I found myself putting in there are my collection of bagpipe music from a lot of parades and so forth. I found myself putting in the DVDs that I have owned and watched, but have not watched in a long time. I found that there were recordings that I had made, of course, of visitors to the shack, and they said, well, gosh, have you ever heard the sound of your own voice? People are always intrigued about that. They love to talk into a microphone or something, and that's a good way to make a nice old living room. Fred gives us a nice old living room every Saturday and Sunday night. So trying to make people comfortable, and different recordings, different things that are important to me. It may be the voice of a friend who's passed away, but that I kept the recording because I would like to go back and listen to the voice of that friend that I miss so much. It could be a photograph. I've had a few photographs that I've been fortunate enough to win some awards for, and they want to go back and revisit those, some different nature and pastoral scenes, some different action scenes. And it's like when you look through your picture directory. I put those out in my picture partition or a part on the Roku file in the library, in the media library. So those are some of the thoughts that I had. That's audio, that's DVDs, and still photographs. Let me reset. So Gary of the Net, here's where I had the most problem, and this is what I wanted to close my part with tonight. Because because of some problems I had with some cloud software and configurations where those cloud providers have gone out of business but had made changes or configuration changes on the desktop, then the libraries can get a little bit messed up. What you have to be careful of doing if you do have a complex directory structure, a file directory on your computer, is you have to be sure that you are storing your own content in a public directory, the content that you own or have rights to. It has to be stored in a public directory for the streaming device to see it. This, of course, is a security reason. You don't want to have that TV pulling up things that don't belong on the TV. So that's why it only looks at public directories. In most cases, it's probably, especially in Windows, under your root disk, and you know, most like the C drive / users subdirectory / and then your login name, and then under that will be a public directory, and then videos, audio, and photographs. And as long as you place the media that you want to enjoy in a public directory, then your streaming stick should be able to stream it. If you don't see your content in that public directory, you need to verify that you are storing your media in the public directory that your streaming device is expecting it to be in. And that's just a matter of taking a look at different locations on the computer. Try putting one CD out there, see if it shows up for the Roku. If it does, you know you have the right directory. Let me reset. Now, I would like to mention one more helpful tip here. Once you have your media server set up and your streaming stick set up, for this, the particular device that I use, and my understanding is this is common to others, your streaming device is probably only going to play certain file formats and modes. For example, a certain speed or like AAC or MP4, you need to make sure that the file format and mode matches what your streaming stick can stream. Your streaming stick will not show as available any files that don't match what its setup will allow it to play. So that would be the other thought. If you know that you put it out there, if you know that your media is in the right directory, you know that it's a public directory, and yet you still don't see what you put there, then you probably have to do a file format conversion of that file to one that can be seen by your streaming device. All right, that is pretty much what could be what I set up in about 2 hours, and thoroughly enjoyed that same evening and had a lot of fun enjoying while sitting, as much fun as you can have when you're fighting when you're looking, needed a diversion, like during having a flu or something. Now, this brings us into the question of how much can you store in your media library? And how much do you want to load down your most frequently used computer with these backup copies or your static storage? In other words, the same old problem. How much can you fit onto your computer and the computer still be in good shape? Personally, I try to keep my disk loading down to 40% of the hard drive space so that there's plenty of work room and there's plenty of room for system temporary files and so forth. I like for my loading to be no more than 40%. Well, that day I was, again, not going to be installing any additional software, purchasing anything extra, and so forth. But when it gets to the point that you need more disk space to store your media, then how can we do it with the least amount of money? Well, Chief W4RFJ has...
Hey, Gary, I think George just won the crystal.
I went away for a second. Not really quite sure what happened, but EchoLink just kind of froze up on me. But we're all good here. I did want to say to George that while he was giving that part of the presentation, I went back and took another look at the drive that I have designated as the media server, and I found a whole ton of pictures that I'd forgotten about. So I was looking at my Cleveland trip while you were talking about that. But George, I went away for about 20 seconds there. Did I miss anything?
KC2RMO, the net, NO7. Well, my apologies to get a purple crystal in the middle of a GIN. I thought I would be able to do better than that tonight. So, well, the last 20 seconds is that I'm glad you found all that material out there that you could enjoy, Gary. And what I need to say is that if the Raspberry Pi can address external storage and that can be designated as a public directory, that then the streaming device should be able to stream that. And there's lots of information on the web that says it can be done. However, Chief W4RFJ is definitely the Raspberry Pi expert here. So, again, my apologies to the net for the purple crystal, but I am glad that we've had this time to talk. I thank you for your attention. I hope that I've put a challenge to you that, hey, next time you want to do a project and need it done. I enjoyed doing this within the two-hour window, setting up specifications specifying the objectives, making it happen, and then enjoying my media that night. Chief, how could I have enjoyed more media? How could I have expanded my disk storage without overloading my main computer with more space than I wanted to consume? Let me turn it back to Gary for questions, and then Gary, you can turn it over to Chief for more information on Raspberry Pi and external storage. KC2RMO, NO7O.
Oh, it was the dreaded purple crystal. Okay. I thought something happened on this one. Okay. Well, thank you, first of all, George. It was a great presentation. A lot of really good information there. And I will be fooling around with this stuff and seeing where I can take it, because I was playing around with it a few months ago. And I had some fun with it, but I kind of dropped it, you know, as things got busy. So you've re-piqued my curiosity, so I really appreciate that. So certainly I've eaten enough crow in my time. I guess you can never eat enough pie. And the pie expert is the chief. So let's see what W4RFJ has to say about the rest of this business. Chief, come on aboard.
Okie dokie, this is W4RFJ, and man, I haven't heard very many people asking questions, but let me see if I can avoid the Purple Crystal Award. George, my hat's off to you, sir. You know, there's a lot of different ways to do a lot of different things, and that's something that I've learned over the years, especially with computer systems. And the Raspberry Pi, to me, has been it's been a breath of fresh air. Now, let me grab a nickel. I started off with a Raspberry Pi 1. I've got those running packet, and I got three of those with I.O. boards, and I've got Raspberry Pi 2s and Raspberry Pi 3s, and, you know, if you're into Linux, it can't be beat. It actually, hands down, beat some of the mini ATX boards that I've set up and used at 1 gigahertz and 1 giga RAM. And that's a single-core processor, whereas like the Pi 2 and the Pi 3 are quad-core processors. It just really blows me away. Let me grab another nickel. But what I've latched on to lately is something that's really surprised me. There's a neat little device called a Raspberry Pi Zero. And these things are in nice, neat little packages, and I found a case that actually comes with a heat sink because, you know, anything electronic, you throw a heat sink on it, you're going to extend its longevity. And, you know, I've been actually running the Kodi, or XBMC is what it used to be called. I use a version called OSMC and then just turn the display over to Kodi, and it's phenomenal. It's just phenomenal. The big thing is there's so much stuff available to it, it can really put the deer in the headlight look on your face. So that's the issue. Let me grab one more nick. Now, I was asked to provide information about setting up a network. What's it called? Give me just a second. I've got it right here. I'm in the wrong place. That's what it is. Sorry about that. Go back to the top. An NAS, or Network Attached Storage. Now, being as Raspberry Pis are Linux devices, it's very easy to set them up and use, just as an example, USB storage to throw on it. So let me grab a nickel, and Gary, I'll pass it back over to you and see if anybody's got any questions. If not, I can give a little bit more of a description as to where you can get step-by-step instructions and a video on how to set up a Raspberry Pi to act as a network-attached storage. KC2RMO, our outstanding net control station, this is W4RFJ. One mermaid, two mermaid, three mermaid.
I am, sir, deeply flattered. You know, you're talking about stuff that is very near and dear to me. I have a Raspberry Pi 2 that, again, that's one of those things I dig out every now and then and fool around with. So very interested in hearing about how to use that as network-attached storage. I think there's some huge potential with that. So I'll bait my breath and wait for info on that. But while I'm baiting, let's throw it out there and see if anybody has any questions. This is the TIN on South Cars, and we're looking for check-ins right now. Well, it's quiet out there. It's like, you know, in the old war movies. Too quiet, you know, but I guess everybody's saving their questions for the end, right? So with that, Chief, we'll go back to you, and my breath is duly baited, so we'll see what information you have about this pie. Over to you, sir.
Okay, Gary, thank you very much, sir. And I guess the one site that I really like, and it's really great for newbies when it comes to you know, trying to do something useful with your Raspberry Pi. You know, you can buy all kinds of different types of cases and so forth and so such. I buy my cases from C4 Labs. The reason being is no matter which Raspberry Pi you use, it has heat sinks that stick right to the processors. C4 Labs, you guys can look that up and scope it out. Anyway, let me grab a nick. All right, so the site that I want to share, and I will put it into the text box as soon as I pass it back over to you, Gary. It's called PiMyLifeUp.com. That's all one word, Pi, P-I, excuse me, a little indigestion. Let me start over. P-I, Papa India, Mike Yankee, Lima India Fox Echo, Uniform Papa. Now that's PiMyLifeUp.com. Okay, and if you go in there, it's got projects. And those projects you can scope out, and the guy's got videos, and he's got step-by-step instructions. He's even got a video on how to install Raspbian. There's just tons of information in there. And one of his projects is the Raspberry Pi NAS. Build a Raspberry Pi Samba server. And Samba, if, for those of you guys that do not know, is a Linux version of Windows networking. So let me grab a nickel, and I want to talk a little bit more about the Pi Zero. Okay, so anyway, any of the Raspberry Pis, whether it's a 1, 2, or a 3, you can do the same thing with. Of course, you got to look at processor speeds, amount of memory, all that. You know, the more speed, the more memory, the faster it's going to serve up. But you're always limited by your interfaces. So, you know, the neat way to experiment is to get yourself one of those little 500 gig USB drives and plug it into it, and it would give you plenty of storage for videos and music for your Kodi box. And that's what I want to talk about with the Raspberry Pi Zero. Let me grab a note. Now, I've got two projects going on with the Raspberry Pi Zero. The Raspberry Pi Zero is as wide as a quarter and as long as, I'd say, two, maybe two and a half quarters. So, and I'm talking about money-type quarters, you know, the coinage. Anyway, it has a single-core processor that's 32-bit, runs at 1 gigahertz, it has 512 mega RAM, it's got one usable USB, which is a micro USB port, and it has HDMI, and it runs off the same little micro SD card, and it has the complete 40-pin general-purpose input-output pin connections. Okay, let me grab one more next. I know the reason why nobody's asking questions, Gary, is because between George and I, we probably put them to sleep by now. But anyway, I have two projects going. I've got the super-duper TNC where I'm actually installed. I have successfully installed one of those Raspberry Pi Zeros inside a KPC3 non-plus TNC and made it possible to connect that TNC to a USB port on any Windows, Mac, or Linux machine and access it in a bunch of different ways. It's almost like taking your laptop outside of the TNC and putting it inside the TNC. And I've got a stack of them that I'm putting together with five radios. I'll be running 9600 baud, 1200 baud, 6240, 220, you name it. But anyway, I think that's probably a good stopping point. I'm also using the Raspberry Pi Zeros to run Kodi, and they are doing beautiful. Gary, did I spark any questions in the brains of our followers out there? This is W4RFJ. I hope I didn't get the crisp.
Well, first of all, putting them to sleep is my job. That's what I do best. I think you got. I'll tell you one thing, Chief. I'm looking right now at PiMyLifeUp.com. It's fascinating stuff there. If you own a Raspberry Pi or ever wanted to play around with one, I would definitely recommend checking that site out. Because I'm seeing things like run x86 apps on the Raspberry Pi, which opens up a huge horizon for what you can do with this remarkable little computer. It is absolutely amazing. So thank you for turning us on to that. I think that's great. Let's find out if there are any further questions about this. We'll take some check-ins right now.
70.
Kilo 5, Delta Romeo, Charlie.
Okay, I think we had a couple there. I think, George, you were coming through there. So let's check in with NO7L.
KC Taru RMO, K5BRC, W4RFJ, everyone of the South Park Italian. This is NO7L. Please answer Dennis's question after mine, Chief. But I have a question about the Raspberry Pi. am I correct in thinking that the Raspberry Pi in the NAS configuration that you mentioned, that the Raspberry Pi would effectively be acting as a hard disk controller for the hard disks that are hung off of the Raspberry Pi? How does the Pi interface with the 600 device storages, and then how would that directory be labeled so that I could match up my streaming device to that directory of the Pi's external drive? That's my question, but I would encourage, let's take Dennis's question and answer first, if that's okay, Gary. KC2RM, NO7, thank you.
Thank you, George. So we'll save that for Chief's answers, and we'll move it along to DRC right now. Dennis, come on aboard.
Good evening, Gary. 0657 hours in Mumbai. Did have a question for the Chief about the operating system. I see an overwhelming quantity of operating systems for that thing. What to use for which application? K5 DRC.
All right, thank you, Dennis, and nice to hear from Mumbai. That's awesome. So let's throw these questions over to the Chief and see what he has to say. Chief, it's all yours.
Okay. Dennis, I'll take your question first by request of Mr. George down there in the, I forgot the name of the forest. But anyway, Dennis, my preferred operating system is Linux. Windows is very chopped up. I don't know about Chrome or any of those others that I know people have actually run Android on it. I've seen people put together a cell phone using a Raspberry Pi as the processor. You know, so there's all kinds of options. But, you know, being as Android is a Linux-based operating system, that will probably explain to you how robust Linux is when it comes to doing any functions. I have Raspberry Pis set up as D-Star hotspots. Got a little board that plugs into it. It's sitting right up there with a nice little 440 antenna hanging off of it, and I can talk anywhere in the world on D-Star going through that little hotspot. So the processing power is there. It's an ARM processor, and they've ported, I know the Raspberry Pi 3 is a 64-bit quad-core, 1 gig of RAM, with all the neat extra parts to it, you know, USB, Ethernet, HDMI, which is full 1080p. Let me grab a nick. Most of the stuff that I've been very successful with, especially when going into multimedia, voice over IP. As a matter of fact, I'm working on all-star nodes right now. I'm working on the Raspberry Pi Zero as a Kodi because I want to mount those inside my TV sets so that I don't have to worry about, you know, being able to access a movie or anything like that. But anyway, long story short, short story longer, my preferred operating system is Raspbian, which is a lead-off from Debian or Ubuntu. Gary, do you mind if I go back to Dennis, make sure I answered his question?
No, we'll go directly to Dennis. I did want to point out before we do that, though, that, and Chief, you might just want to let folks know about the price of this remarkable little machine. So we'll go back to Dennis and then back to you.
Yeah, the price is very low. They come out of the UK. Thank you very much for the OS thing. Raspbian, I guess, was the answer. Thank you, Chief. K5 DRC.
Okay, Dennis, fine business. The Raspbian is a Linux operating system, so, and it comes with its own X Windows, too. It's pretty neat. The Raspberry Pi 2 and 3, in my local, where I live, I can get them for $30 a piece. The Raspberry Pi Zero, you guys are going to have to sit down and grab hold of your seat. You can buy them for $5 a piece. So that's that. Now, I think what I need to do is I need to contact George and make sure I'm trying to remember his question. Give me a second. Oh, my God, I just went brain dead. Gary, can you reiterate his George's question for me? It just went right out the window. Oh,
I think there may be a crystal involved here, but sir. George, just for the sake of clarity, can you repeat your question, please?
Certainly, and I understand these TINs. When we're talking about a technical subject, we're all smart enough and good enough at being ham radio operators that I know we're thinking 2, 3, 4, 5 levels deep. So, Gary, I do have some other thoughts I want to share after the other presentation tonight, because I was thinking on Gordon's question, and I have figured out a way to clarify that answer. It was kind of hard to answer his question at the very beginning. Chief, my question to you is, does the Raspberry Pi, when you're attaching external hard drives to it for storage purposes, does the Raspberry Pi then, like in an NAS network attached storage, does the Raspberry Pi effectively become what used to be a hard disk drive controller? Does it effectively become a controller and then provide you with a path to the file structure on the external drives that you can then read from using the external device like a streaming stick? W4RFJ,
NO70. NO70, this is W4RFJ. I guess the best way I can answer that is I'm pretty sure that you have experience with sharing files from one computer to another computer, right? Using Windows? Over.
Affirmative, yes. Over.
Okay, then. Well, what you're doing with the Raspberry Pi is you're setting it up to share that hard drive via the Windows networking scheme. So you'll assign it to work group, so it'll become part of that work group, the whole thing. It acts exactly like a Windows computer so that you can access those folders. Does that make sense, over?
It does. Now, what I'm unclear about, I would have to do some research on, is whether those work groups can have a network share or file share on the external drive designated as a public directory, and then if that public designation would get passed back through the Raspberry Pi. And I know I'm catching you with a question I did not ask you before, Ned. So since I did not try that myself, I don't have an answer honestly to it. I do know that the streaming devices have to see a directory that's called a public directory. Work groups do become public, but I've seen in the literature some distinction between work groups and public directories. And honestly, Chief, that's where I'm a little confused as well. I did not ask you the question before that. I wonder if maybe someone listening does have an idea of whether their streaming device can see those external work groups as a public directory in addition to being a work group. Back to you, Gary, KC2RMO, NO70.
Thank you, George. Let's throw that out there. If anybody has any experience with this, does this streaming device show up as a streaming device on the network?
RFJ.
Not sure I phrased that correctly, but does this show up on the network?
RFJ.
Chief, go right ahead.
Okay. I'm sensing a conflict in terminology here to begin with. First of all, you asked about a network addressable server, okay, which is what your computers do when they're sharing folders, and you can make them public, you can make them restricted, you can do whatever you want because you can set up that share exactly the way you can set up. I mean, it's done through the software and the configuration files, which that article that I pointed to in Pie My Life Up explains how to do. But my point is that when you talk about something streaming, that's a totally different thing. It's not sharing a folder. It's not sharing a file. If you're streaming, then you're streaming video, which requires a service, a server, which is totally different than a network addressable server, file server. So I hope that might have helped with that.
KC2RMO, yeah, one is active content and the other is files, I guess. Would that be a fair way of saying it?
Absolutely, Gary, absolutely. Now, the neat thing about this NAS, once you get it on the network, it's funny, but Kodi can actually access it, will recognize it as a Samba device, and allow you to browse it, and if you have your movies on it, you can play your movies and your music from it. That's what the NAS is going to do. It's going to act like a folder out there on your network. That's what it does. It takes your USB drive and makes it a network drive. How's that sound?
Oh, sounds good to me. Yeah, anybody who is familiar with either the Mac OS or Linux, because they are kissing cousins, knows a little bit about Samba. I think you probably had to use it for something at one point or another if you're dealing with a Windows network. So Samba's good stuff. It's been around for a long time, and it works. It's a very versatile protocol. So it's a good thing to know. And I use Raspbian on the Raspberry Pi 2. So this again is all good practical knowledge for yours truly as we get a little bit more into this. So anybody else with any comments or questions? And we'll go back to the chief. Nope. Okay. Chief, take it away.
Okay, Gary. Well, I hope that I was able to clear up any misconception with George. My suggestion would be, you know, get on the Pi My Life Up website, look through the projects, watch the videos, and tell me what you think. You know, you can always shoot me an email if you have issues or if you have questions. You don't have to wait for a TIN for it. So that's pretty much it. The Raspberry Pi Zero has really fascinated me. Because of one feature that it has, I wanted to share with everybody, and that is the USB port can be programmed prior to booting that little micro SD up. And this is running Raspbian, Gary, so you might appreciate this. That little Raspberry Pi Zero will act like an Ethernet device. So when you plug it in, the computer thinks you've plugged in an Ethernet converter. So it will set itself up, or you can set it up to access that network that is the Raspberry Pi Zero. And that has just blown me away. I'm in the process of installing VNC server and X Windows on the Raspberry Pi Zero so that I can actually operate the computer from a remote location through a USB hub and a Raspberry Pi 2. The Raspberry Pi 2 is being set up as a router and a Wi-Fi connection point because I've got an I.O. board on it that has Wi-Fi and all that other extra stuff. But hopefully within the next few months, I'll have my article written and I'll send it into ARRL and we'll see if we can't get it in QST and you guys can see how a real hacker works at trying to put things together. Gary, I really don't have much more unless somebody has questions. You know, if they would like to figure out, you know, where, who, what, where, why, when, and how to get started with the Raspberry Pi. And there are a lot of others, too. I don't mean to knock any others, but these things are so cheap, so easy to operate, so easy to go through the material and learn. It's just it just blew my socks off. So, Gary, back over to you, sir. I probably timed it out. I apologize. One mermaid, two mermaid, three mermaid.
I think you got it just right. Thank you, Chief. Oh, boy, I tell you, the programmable Ethernet port is just a little bit too cool. I That just kind of blew my mind too. So that's awesome. Thank you both, George and Chief. Very, very good presentation. And I know maybe if you didn't ask a question, you certainly gained a lot of knowledge. Maybe you got some good ideas too about what to do. I'm just going to take a break here and see if anybody has any questions or comments. And then I know we're kind of getting deeply into this, but I'm going to see if we can do this little segment on upping your station audio in about 20 minutes. But right now, any comments or questions? And we're taking check-ins on the TIN on South Cars.
NO70.
Hey, George, go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Gary. KC2RMO in the South Park TIN, NO70. Gary, thank you for the time. And, hey, we've been here for three-hour TINs before, so don't feel constrained. I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say because I've heard you talk about it on the net before, and I want to hear what you have to say. I do want to take a moment before we move on, though, to revisit Gordon and Fred's question now that we've heard what Chief had to say about the Ethernet ports, hanging external drive zone, hanging TNC zone. He's going to tell us more about that in publication. Gordon's question about the how the computers and so forth work, I'd like to just revisit that. Let me reset the link. So Gary and the net, this is in 070. Regarding the file access or the computer-to-computer interaction, using the streaming stick that I use, it is not possible to delete files or do any type of file manipulation or operation from the streaming stick media server channel. It can only take what is stored in the DLNA server computer, which my understanding could be one of the Raspberry Pi attached drives. Of course, the drives on your own computer without the Raspberry Pi. And then it will play that content on your TV. I was thinking about how maybe to clarify my answer to Gordon and Fred's question. Here's what I came up with. Let me reset. So Gary, let's go to your RMO television network. The streaming stick becomes the video or audio switcher board where you can then punch a button for one audio or video feed, you punch a different button for another feed, and you put the program on the air that you want at that time using that switcher. Your streaming stick becomes the switcher, and then it reaches out. The output of it is fed to your line, which goes out to your TV itself or your whoever's watching your station. And that switcher is attached to different program sources. Those program sources are your DVDs or audios, audio files or photographs that are stored out. And maybe they don't have to be stored in the same room where that switcher is. That switcher could be reaching out through a cable or a wire or Wi-Fi to some other part of the building or via satellite to some other part, and that's where the Raspberry Pi comes in. So think of your streaming stick as a video audio switcher, and then but that's not capable of affecting what is on the file server itself. Let me reset. And that's my thought. So let me then, having clarified that, and that gets into Fred's question too, you have to have that media server channel on your streaming stick. I hope that clarified and answered Gordon's question a little bit better. KC Torimo, back to you, NO70.
All right, thank you, sir. Gordon, if you have any comments, why don't you come on aboard with that right now?
Okay, thanks, Gary, and thank you, George. Yes, that all made sense to me. I've got a million questions for you, but we can pick them up in the next couple of days when we talk one-on-one. Gary, I just put a comment in the text box for you. What do you think about taking your portion that you wanted to give on audio and running that as an Ask an Elmer Part 2. And we'll pick it up at that point as a suggestion. Number three, and some bad news at the moment. Both of our SouthCars servers are down. They have gone black. That's SouthCars.com and VOIP.SouthCars.com. I don't know if this is momentary or permanent. Oh, it is? Oh, okay. I guess it was momentary. The boss, Kathy, just said it's back up. The reason that I was getting a little squeamish, let me buy a nickel, is that our owner and senior webmaster, I got notification this afternoon, has passed away. KY6V to KC2RMO. And did you pick a call, or are you open for the draw? Over.
First of all, I do want to extend my condolences, and I'm sure all SouthCars members are feeling the same way. I just saw that actually a few minutes ago in the mail, so that is some sad news. Secondly, I think what we'll do is we'll just take this this business on audio, and we will make that a part two. I like the idea of that. That sounds good. That sounds very, very good. I do, however, want to take the opportunity just to lay a sample. So I have this thing ready, and I'm going to tease it a little bit right here. What we were going to talk about was improving station audio, and I just want you guys to hear what single sideband can sound like, okay? This is SSB. This is me on 6 meters a couple nights ago. It's going to take a minute to find the file.
CQ 6 meters. CQ 6 meters. This is KC2RMO. CQ 6 meters. CQ 6 meters. This is KC2RMO. This is KC2RMO. I was hoping to get a QSO for this, but apparently nobody's out there. I'll just make a recording of what the audio sounds like, and this should be a pretty good example. So we'll send it on down the line. This is KC2RMO clear.
You can sound like that. You don't have to sound like me, but you can sound like that. And we're going to tell you how to do it in just a little bit. Any comments right now? This is KC2RMO on the TIN.
Yeah, you could have run with squelch on 6 meters. Over.
Yeah, that was sideband. And I just didn't even think of it. You can set the squelch on sideband on that rig, but I just figured it would be more fun to have the noise in there.
Well, anyway, good show, Tiger.
I could have edited the file too. I suppose I could have done that, but the idea was just to show how it sounds. So yeah, we'll do this as a part two, because there's a lot to go through, and I don't want to rush it. There's some nice info, and if you want to play around with your audio like that. I think I got some good tips for you, that's for sure. We're getting towards the end here, friends and neighbors, so let's see if anybody else has anything they want to throw in there. Let's take check-ins right now on the TIN. This is SouthCars. Well, a little quiet, so I guess we're at the end of the trail, so that's okay. Hey, this has been fun tonight. Always is fun doing the Ask an Elmer, and we'll do the other one on audio, and we'll have some fun with that too. I want to thank both George and the Chief for their expert input tonight. That was very, very good, and certainly I learned a lot. I found a lot of things that I could apply, and hopefully If you didn't learn something new, your curiosity was piqued too. So I want to thank everybody for listening. This has been SouthCars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. VoIPnet schedules and general information may be found on the VoIP.SouthCars.com website. Your net control for the session has been little old me, KC2RMO, saying 7-3 and closing this VoIP session. Thanks for your participation. This net is closed.
Da-dee-da-dee-da-da-dee-da. What do you hear over the air? CQ serenade. So you don't know just what it means. Dust your shoes off, shake out your jeans. Get on your feet, jump to the beat of CQ serenade.